Dear brothers and sisters, the history of Manmin can largely be divided into three periods. God defined the years 1982 through 1999 as the first leap of faith, and the years 2000 through 2010 as the second leap of faith, and God proclaimed the year 2010 as the reaping year and the starting point of the third leap of faith. Especially, starting from the year 2016, the third leap of faith began in earnest. The third leap of faith continues until the day our Lord comes back. Speaking in terms of a running race, we are in the very last phase where we have to run to all our might. There's absolutely no doubt that we are near the end of the world. Then, leap means to move on to a higher level. Then, what should we leap onto? We should make a leap of faith to embark on the construction of the grand sanctuary and to finish our preparation for the Lord's coming. Today's message is based on the shepherd's previous sermon preached in 2005, Pastors and Church Workers Devotional Service. I hope that this message will inspire you to possess more perfect faith and vigorously make a leap of faith. Dear brothers and sisters, Father God has always challenged us to hope in faith and showed us many convincing evidences so that we could have perfect faith in Him. He had shown numerous cases where things beyond man's capabilities and wisdom were resolved easily and quickly by His power. Also, during the 2018 summer retreat, we could confirm such works with our own eyes. We vividly witnessed incurable and terminal diseases which can't be treated by medicine, healed by God's power instantly. Father God wants us to possess perfect faith through such evidence and manifestations of His power. Because God tells us to hope in faith while showing the evidence of His living, we shouldn't feel burdened in following His guidance. Now, Father God wants all of us to hope in our own faith. Having trained us through trials of faith, God wants all of us to look at things with the eyes of faith and march on in faith, even when things seem impossible in reality. Since the founding of this church to this day, our shepherd has only looked to Father God in faith and held on to His word. As a result, He's fully accomplished His will and given Him great glory. From this time onward, in order to accomplish the Father's will and His providence for this church more perfectly, not just our shepherd, but all of us should hope with eyes of faith, which means we should all become united in faith. It's because faith serves as the foundation in accomplishing God's work. When you build a house, it takes a long time to lay the foundation. But after that, building proceeds very quickly. Also, it takes a few years for a seed to sprout, grow to become a tree, and finally bear fruit. But once the tree begins to bear fruit, the fruit is born every year. Now, we have to solidify our foundation, become united in faith, and bear abundant fruit with our shepherd. In whatever situation we may face, we have to challenge one another to hope in faith and vigorously march forward, being united in heart and will. During the Exodus, the Israelites also had this kind of turning point in their faith. The first generation of the Exodus was protected from the 10 plagues in Egypt and crossed the Red Sea when it was split by God's power. They drank water springing from a rock in the wilderness, and ate manna which fell from heaven. Other than these, they experienced God's power many times through Prophet Moses. Yet, at the threshold of the Canaan land which God promised them, they sent 12 spies to spy out the land, but 10 of them failed to make a confession of faith. Because of their negative words, many of the Israelites forsook their faith, lamented, and grumbled against God. According to their negative confessions, they couldn't make it to the promised land, but instead faced death in the wilderness. But the second generation who'd grown their faith through 40 years of trial was different. They fully believed Joshua's words to be the words of God and trusted and obeyed him. When they set foot in the Jordan River in obedience, the waters of Jordan were cut off. All the Israelites, including the priests, believed and obeyed the words of Joshua. None of them spoke words of complaint. They didn't forsake their faith. The first generation could cross the Red Sea by Moses' faith, while the second generation crossed the Jordan River with their own faith. In conquering the city of Jericho, known as an impregnable fortress, they only believed in God's word and obeyed. As a result, they took over the city without a battle. As they relied on God and obeyed His words through these, they gradually conquered the land of Canaan. Gradually. Whenever Father God manifested His great works, He requested them to do something in advance. He told them to sanctify themselves before they crossed the Jordan River, and before the conquest of Jericho, He told them to circumcise themselves. Likewise, through the 21 repentance incident, God allowed us to look back on ourselves and repent of all our sins and transgressions. Father God made us sanctify our hearts first. And He's leading us to become proper before Father God so that we won't follow the example of the Israelites who were defeated in the battle of Ai because of Achan's sin. Thus, all of us should hope in faith, rely on the Almighty Father God alone, and vigorously march forward in faith. Then, what do we have to do to hope in faith? First, we should have spiritual faith, not fleshly faith. With fleshly faith, we can believe only when something is created from something. It is knowledge-based faith. With that faith, we believe only when something agrees with our knowledge. So, we cannot bring down God's power that transcends the limitations of man's thoughts and knowledge. Namely, we cannot believe or accomplish the works of God who creates something out of nothing and makes impossible possible. On the contrary, with spiritual faith, we believe things can be created from nothing and demonstrate these. With such spiritual faith, our shepherd has fulfilled the visions Father God gave him one by one. Since 2000, he's conducted overseas crusades. If we had only fleshly faith, he couldn't have glorified God greatly in any of these crusades. It's not that we had sufficient finance, nor were the situations for the crusade favorable. Those who opposed the crusades spread false rumors to deceive people. Also, there were threats of terror. In India, we faced anti-conversion laws issued by the state government. And in Pakistan, the government officials blocked the entrance to the crusade. Despite all these obstacles, the shepherd obeyed in faith and marched on to accomplish the will of God. To the extent we suffered persecutions and hindrance, we gave great glory to God in the end. As the result of his march of faith, he has never failed to fulfill Father God's will for this church. No matter the situation, all things worked together for good, and we were blessed and gave great glory to Father God. Spiritual faith is truthfulness itself and carries the power to drive away the forces of darkness and even make the impossible possible. This is why you and I should have spiritual faith. Some believers profess their faith in God but consider their reality difficult or impossible to overcome. This is because they have fleshly faith, which is dead faith without deeds, or knowledge-based faith. So I urge all of you to change your faith into spiritual faith by which you can commit all things to God and demonstrate deeds of obedience. From the eyes of men, marching forward only in faith may look reckless, like jumping off a cliff. Yes, if you did so without faith, it would be a reckless behavior. But that's not the case with those who have spiritual faith. It's an act of relying on God completely. Even if they throw themselves off a cliff, they do so because they believe without any doubt that God will save them with His great mighty hand. In the Bible, we find Abraham's march of faith and how he obeyed the word of God. He even obeyed God's command of offering his only son Isaac as a burnt offering. You are familiar with this story because you've often heard of it from sermons, just as we read in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. I hope that, as you are again reminded of Abraham's deed of faith, you long for spiritual faith even more and achieve it. In Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, God commanded Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering. Back in the Old Testament times, people gave God a burnt offering by burning an animal on the altar so that God would joyfully accept this incense. Abraham got Isaac at age 100, so Isaac was like the apple of his eye. Offering his beloved son as a burnt offering could have been an extremely difficult thing to obey. By common sense, it was a reckless thing. Yet, Abraham obeyed immediately without hesitating. Because he had perfect trust in God, he could obey what was totally incomprehensible by common sense. To the very moment he raised his knife to stab his son, he didn't show hesitation or involve any fleshly thoughts. God accepted Abraham's heart and his deeds as beautiful aroma and sent his angel to call him. God provided a ram which was to be offered instead of Isaac and told Abraham to do nothing to Isaac. Abraham took the ram caught in the thicket by his horns and offered it as a burnt offering. Then God blessed him, saying, "Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." Our shepherd has also had such an experience numerous times. When he only hoped and acted in faith, it might have been looked reckless or stupid to the eyes of the worldly people. But because he acted with perfect faith in Father God, he could bring about marvelous works which couldn't be compared to what could have been achieved by man's wisdom or capabilities. By doing so, he demonstrated that God is living. Back in June 1992, the shepherd also passed the test of excessive bleeding by faith. At the time, he'd been agonizing with a huge amount of burden. Physically, he was about to collapse by brain hemorrhage. Before that happened, God caused one of his blood vessels to burst in his nose. Actually, the bleeding could have stopped easily if we had just got simple surgery, but he didn't want to rely on the worldly ways at all. As he shed all of his blood, his pulse and breathing stopped. The moment he passed away, he had an encounter, he met the Lord, who showed him a scene in which most of his church members would wander aimlessly, go astray into the world, and fall into hell. Seeing this, he asked the Lord to revive him again. Right that moment, light came upon him from above, and he was given strength. As he woke up and drank water, it turned into blood right away. Because the shepherd had perfect faith and trust in the Almighty God, he wholly committed all things to him, knowing about God more than anyone else, and the healing many people by God's power. He chose to die rather than to rely on medicine. But Father God revived him in an instant because his death was in his will. Even when God permitted such a situation, our shepherd was willing to offer his life. So God miraculously brought him back to life. Father God explained that just as Abraham passed the test of offering his only son with faith in the Almighty God, the shepherd also passed the test of offering his own life. By passing that test, the shepherd won all the more trust from God and was blessed to manifest his power even more greatly. This incident provided a spiritual awakening to church workers and members, and the church stood more firmly on the rock. Brothers and sisters, since the founding of this church until now, our shepherd has only marched in faith and instructed us to run our race of faith with spiritual faith. He desires all of us to achieve perfect faith, carry out our respective duties, and perfectly fulfill Father God's providence for this church, thereby enjoying glory with Him. In the face of all circumstances that lie ahead, I urge all of you to have spiritual faith and make a confession of faith like that of Joshua and Caleb. Numbers chapter 14 verses 8 and 9 say, "If the Lord is pleased with us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Please keep in mind that among the first generation, only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, entered Canaan according to their confession of faith. Brothers and sisters, Father God's will and providence for this church is fulfilled for sure, without fail. But those who look at the reality with fleshly thoughts cannot partake in God's great work. Father God emphasized that we must be men or women of spirit to be used by Him. I ask you to keep this in mind and possess spiritual faith. Secondly, those who hope in faith never give up. There are people who give up in the middle when they face obstacles which seem difficult or impossible to overcome. But those who hope in faith don't see them as obstacles, nor do they limit anything with their own thoughts. So, they don't see anything as impossible or give up. Those with spiritual faith basically have such a mindset. To achieve our goal, we have to go through the process of overcoming our obstacles. For example, a caterpillar has to go through a pupal stage to become a pretty butterfly. For a caterpillar, this process may feel like an obstacle. But what would happen if we rip off its pupa? The butterfly may get out easily, but soon enough, it will die. Although it takes time for a caterpillar to become a butterfly, it has to go through the process of getting out of the pupa on its own. It's the same spiritually. As we march forward in faith, things don't always go smoothly for us. Sometimes we find ourselves before an obstacle. If we avoid that obstacle or give up in the middle, we can move up to the next spiritual level. But if we overcome our obstacles by faith, we can strengthen our faith and place ourselves onto the shortcut to achieving our goals. Thus, it requires us to endure trials in our journey of faith. Rather than complaining, why is there such an obstacle? I want to go this way in comfort. We have to hope in faith. Also, limiting ourselves with our thoughts is not putting perfect faith in the Almighty God. We read in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, and looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." As said, even impossible things by man can be done only if we have spiritual faith. So what we have to do is just hope in faith and move on. Do you remember what God commanded Joshua when the Israelites conquered the land of Canaan? Before conquering the impregnable city of Jericho, God only commanded them to march around it. For the first 6 days, He told them to march around the city once a day. And on the seventh day, He commanded them to march around it 7 times and shout out with a loud voice. Actually, with men's thoughts, there was no way such a strong city was destroyed by their marching around. Physically, it was impossible. It was very dangerous for the Israelites, who were completely unarmed, to march around it. But did they consider their obstacle impossible to overcome and give up? Not even one of them complained, but obeyed, as Joshua instructed them. Because they had faith in God, they completely obeyed His word without giving up. After they showed complete obedience for 7 days and marched around it a total of 13 times, God made the city crumble down. As the Israelites hoped in faith and obeyed the word, God caused the impregnable city of Jericho to be destroyed in an instant. The impossible thing was made possible. Even while Joshua and the Israelites conquered the Canaanites, there were still obstacles. The kings who had governed the land allied one another to fight against Israel. In Gibeon, Joshua had to battle against the united forces of 5 nations. But as he put faith in God, he fearlessly fought in the war and destroyed them without leaving any of them alive. Also, when he conquered the eastern, western, and northern areas, he had to fight against the allied forces there. The enemy forces were great in number, as described in Joshua chapter 11, verse 4. They came out, they and all their enemies with them, as many people as the sand that is on the seashore, with very many horses and chariots. If Joshua had not looked to God in faith, he would have been discouraged and given up in fear. But Joshua, who only relied on the Almighty God, only held on to God's word and showed deeds of obedience. As God always took responsibility for him, he was able to gain victory after victory. Since the founding of this church, God has blessed this church to have revival as we showed unchanging faith in His blessing and acted in faith. At times, it seemed that we were completely dead in trials permitted by God. With many misunderstandings and slanders, the church suffered disgrace and persecutions, and all our accomplishments seemed to go down the drain. Yet, instead of giving up, we only stayed thankful and joyful and joyfully praised God because we believed that God's promise would never fail. So whenever we hoped in faith in our trials, God enabled us to overcome them with a dramatic reversal and received great glory as a result. With faith in God, we stayed joyful and overcame whatever trials that faced us, thereby greatly glorifying God. As the church members move up to the next spiritual level, they were blessed both spiritually and physically. They were strengthened to run more vigorously to fully accomplish the words given to this church. Amidst those trials, if we had given up or fallen into despair, we wouldn't be what we are now. I ask you to keep such faith in carrying out your God-given duties as well. As we work for God, we may face problems which are beyond our ability to handle. At this point, we might think, I can't do anything about this. But if you give up or let go of your God-given duties, we may end up losing the fullness of the Spirit and stagnating in faith. On the contrary, if we march on in faith without giving up, Father God will surely provide His strength. As your faith grows significantly, you can deal with greater God-given duties. God earnestly desires us to do things by believing and relying on Him. If we did only what we can do within our ability, after achieving something, we may think like, I've done this on my own strength. After that, we may rely more on our wisdom and experience rather than on Father God. So Father God sometimes entrusts us with a task beyond our capability so that we entirely rely on Him. At such times, we shouldn't give up, but only hope in faith and obey according to His will. In his sermon, the shepherd said, It is wrong to say, I'm not capable enough to take on this task. Before the Almighty God, whether our capability is big or small, doesn't matter. What matters is how sincerely we believe in God and pray to bring down His power. Therefore, in whatever situation we may face, I urge all of you to hope in faith, never give up, and obey in faith, thereby being of great help in accomplishing the kingdom of God. Third, I urge you to hope for your own sanctification in faith, namely, to hope and believe that you can also come into Spirit and Holy Spirit. Since the time you met God first, Father God has trusted and believed you so that you can grow to what you are now, spiritually. He has waited and expected us to come forth as His true children by changing our heart and the spirit. We read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, But do not let this one thing escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Father God of love desires all men to be saved, and waits for His saved children to grow in faith with expectation. Because God first expected us in faith, I urge you to hope in faith that you will come forth as His sanctified children. Our shepherd has deemed, considered each one of us precious. Rather than being disappointed by how we are right now, he's hoped in faith that we will come into spirit. Our shepherd was confessed as follows, The reason I can endure all things in dealing with any souls is that I believe in good outcome. I believe that all church members are good ships sent by God, and consider them precious ones who will enter New Jerusalem. Even when some of them committed sins and disobeyed, I've never given up on them, nor have I hated or disliked them. With faith that they would change in the end, I didn't give up, but had mercy on them. If I found them discouraged, I encouraged them with confessions of faith, because I believe in God, I could believe them even though they had a lot of shortcomings and transgressions. Of course, my faith in those people comes from my faith in God, because I believe in God with whom nothing is impossible, will take responsibility. I can trust them when I place my faith in them with sincere love and committed things to God. He was pleased and work for them according to my faith. Our shepherd will keep His unfailing faith in us until we become His true children that Father God wants. Through our shepherd, we can feel how our Father God and our Lord look at us with expectation. Thus, it shouldn't be difficult to hope for our sanctification in faith. If we were told to hope in faith without having been shown anything, we would feel hopeless. But because we've learned through our shepherd what it is to hope in faith, we don't feel that way. The confession of the Lord, Mami Praise number one, it carries the confession of the Lord before He carried the cross. It goes like this. Father, may Your will be fulfilled. The salvation was achieved on this earth. The hope for heaven is given to them. They become the fruit of Your love. At that time, the disciples were not... Jesus believed that His disciples will come forth as the fruit of Father God's love. And until the last moment, He didn't look at their shortcomings, but He believed that they would be changed after all. Just like our Lord, our shepherd has believed us and hoped in us with confessions of faith. So, Senior Pastor incessantly urged us to become sanctified. I want you to recall his pleas. I want you to recall the shepherd's pleading for our sanctification. He said, aren't you greatly inspired to think you will be united with the shepherd as men and women of the Holy Spirit and accomplish the world mission? Brothers and sisters, I love you. Our students, young adults, choir members, let's all go together. With God, the Lord of hosts, with us, we can do it. We can go there. If you think you can't, I can help you. We shall go together. We shall go there. Dear brothers and sisters, all of you have to go to New Jerusalem. All of us shall go there together. Do you hear the shepherd's earnest pleas? In urging us, he often uses the words together and all. They demonstrate the heart of the shepherd who always looks at us in faith and expectation. Thus, I urge you to hope in faith that you will also come forth as sanctified children that God wants. I'm not telling you to be self-conceited, but to have faith in your own sanctification. I mean, spiritual faith in your sanctification. Do any of you think, I've hoped in faith, but why have I failed to change myself? As I told you earlier, spiritual faith is accompanied by these. While you profess to believe, if you just sit back without any efforts, that's not spiritual faith. You are just seeking some kind of luck. If you indeed hope for your sanctification in spiritual faith, you should demonstrate these. It is just as we read in James chapter 2, verse 22, you see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. With faith and assurance that you can achieve spiritual and whole spirit, if you pray earnestly, engrave the words of God, and show these, at some point, you'll find yourself having come deeply into spirit. But during the process, you may discover yourselves with fleshly attributes or shortcomings. Even so, you have to hope in spiritual faith without changing. If you become discouraged by your fleshly attributes and give up, it proves you haven't hoped in spiritual faith. That's why you involve fleshly thoughts. When you make a mistake or discover your shortcomings, it's natural that you feel apologetic and heartbroken before God. At this point, people who've hoped in spiritual faith encourage themselves with such thoughts as, I'm thankful that I've discovered my shortcomings. I will change myself quickly and please Father God. But those who involve fleshly thoughts think like, because I'm such a person, God wouldn't love me. Even though I try hard, I'm still like this. I'm such a helpless person. you lose strength to pray, no longer stay faithful to God-given duties, and abstain yourself from meetings or services. In the face of some heartbreaking situation, people with spiritual faith try to change themselves quickly, but those without spiritual faith discourage themselves with negative thoughts and give up. Therefore, in hoping for our sanctification, we should have spiritual faith and never waver, no matter the situation. Going towards the sanctification, if we discover untruth and fleshly attributes, we should rather rejoice and be thankful, because we can achieve sanctification. By the way, such a blessing is given to those who make tireless efforts for sanctification. The Holy Spirit provides spiritual awakenings to those who try their best to come into Spirit, riding on the flow of the Holy Spirit. Also, God gives them His grace and strength and leads them to achieve sanctification by the help of the Holy Spirit. On the contrary, those who do not long for Spirit ignore untruth they discover and make no efforts for spiritual change, cannot have such blessings. They only fall deeper into flesh, following the flow of flesh. But all of us long for Spirit and want to achieve it anyhow. Because many things are possible with faith, I urge you to believe that you will also achieve your own sanctification and make continuous efforts. Our shepherd said, "From now on, I hope that all of you can take the initiative in this flow of Spirit, rather than just following my guidance." Keeping in mind that nothing is impossible with spiritual faith, I challenge you to hope for your sanctification and make unceasing efforts in faith. Let me conclude a message. Today, under the title, "Let Us Hope in Faith," I've reminded you of what Father God wants from us. He has nurtured us with the words of life and demonstrated countless convincing evidences so that we can grow in faith. Now, He wants us to hope in our own faith. He wants us to hope not in fleshly, dead faith, but in spiritual, living faith accompanied by these. Those who hope in faith never give up or see anything as impossible. So, whatever they hope in faith is achieved without fail. If all of us hope, confess, and act in faith, we will be more than able to accomplish all of our God-given tests. Lastly, I urge you to hope for your own sanctification in faith and confess. I urge you to make confession, positive confession. With positive confessions, if you meditate on the words you've heard and act accordingly, all of you can do it. Today's passage says, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for." So I recalled the shepherd whenever he preached or had meetings, he talked about faith. Sometimes we didn't have enough faith. Senior pastor shared his own testimony. He explained how he conducted himself since he founded this church. He also talked about the moments, impossible moments, and he confessed that he overcome all the situation by faith. Hearing his testimony, we make up our mind again to carry out our duties in faith. We learn from the shepherd what it is to to hope in faith. Also, as for me, while carrying out my duties, I remind myself of the shepherd's confession. Our shepherd also made confession of faith to me, and remembering that confessions, I'm strengthened to show more faith than I have. Sometimes, That's why I could carry out the duties which were beyond my ability or capability. So you, do you hear the shepherd's confession and pleas? Just as our shepherd guided this church with his faith, I hope you engrave these words in your mind, hope in faith, and keep running vigorously in faith. Brothers and sisters, today's passage says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. I pray that you realize the importance of having spiritual faith. Put your faith in God and obey, achieve a sincere heart and perfect faith, and thereby give great glory to Father God.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.